From the MTC studio in Avalon, Pennsylvania, it's the Gentleman's Nightery with your hosts, Stitch Mainville, Rick Garrett, and Magnus Heber. So pour yourself a stiff one, light 'em if you got 'em. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your nightery.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Kemp, and thank you, our loyal listeners, for tuning in to each and every episode. We really appreciate you. This is Stitch Mainville with another edition of the Gentleman's Nightery.
Rick Garrett's back.
And Magnus Heber. Good to see you, fellas.
And sitting in with us today, Mr.
Dennis.
Yeah, he doesn't want to give his...
Dennis Verana.
He said, don't give out my government.
Just say, Dennis the man.
Hi, my name's Dennis, and I'm an alcoholic. Hey, we got a terrific show planned for today, and we're going to be making highballs. It's a zesty bourbon cocktail. Actually, we already made them, and everybody's sipping on them. They taste all right?
Yes, sir. It tastes
except great. Mr. Magnus, because... Why ain't you going to have a cocktail with us?
Oh, I can't get too hammered today because I still got to drive home and then go to the night at the races and do some drinking tonight. But highball was my go-to drink when I lived in Japan.
Oh, there you go.
Suntory, though.
Oh, so he knows what we're getting into.
And we have some listener emails we're going to read later on. And we have an old tradition that we're bringing back to the Gentleman's Nightery, but I don't want to give anything away, so... I'm going to hold on to that little bit of nugget of information until after our break.
I have a guess, but I'm going to be quiet.
Yeah, I'm sure you do, but we're going to hold off on that. Anyway, before we get to our cocktail corner, let's welcome back Mr. Rick Garrett, who's been out on maternity leave.
It wasn't maternity leave.
Now his vagina hang like sleep away.
How you feeling, man, now that you're able to get out and about?
I'm feeling a lot better than I did 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can actually walk now.
Well, you were walking before just with a lot of pain,
with
right?
A lot of pain, yeah. But now I'm walking. Instead of pain, I'm walking with a cane.
But
I'm walking.
But hey, man, you get a cool pimp cane, it'll look fucking cool as shit, right?
We got to get him a gin and juice fucking chalice, like... Lil John.
An old black man walking with a fucking super pimp cane and shit. Like, yo, what's up, motherfucker?
If you're going to do that, you got to get me a hollow one so I can keep my shit in. You
know what I'm saying? A little diamond cobra at the end.
There you go. Yeah.
My man would rock the fuck out of a purple suit.
And a boa. Maybe fur boa, yeah.
Maybe back in the 70s.
Got to get him a purple suit.
He crip walks into the freaking hospital.
In a big old fucking pimp hat.
Pimpin's been pimpin'. Yeah,
there you go.
So how's your physical therapy? Are you all done with that, or is that still going on?
No, it's still going on. I'm there twice a week. I was going three times a week, but I'm now twice a week.
All right.
But they said I still have a way to go. So I don't know. My next appointment is coming up, and then I'll find out whether I'll be able to go back to work. And he told me that it could happen 3 to 6 months, and I'm just now hitting 3 months.
Mm.
So last time I saw him, he said I was only 40% halfway, you know, not even halfway through my recovery.
But you can drive and you can at least get out and about.
I can drive and I can walk with the system. If I have to walk a long distance, I have to use my cane.
Right on.
I can get around though.
I'm glad you're doing better, but I have a bone to pick with you, sir.
Well, what's up?
Why, oh, why did I have to see the video of that surgery? It will forever stain my mind.
That was pretty gruesome, wasn't
it? Oh, man.
I meant to ask you guys, did you watch it?
Oh, we watched it, yeah. That was some gruesome shit.
I know. Yeah. My wife wouldn't even watch it. She said, I don't want to see that.
The guy in the video looked like Stretch Armstrong. His right leg was up by his shoulder.
That was an old woman.
That was a woman.
That's yeah. Brutal. It was a 65-year-old woman.
You know, that never freaked me out until I watched that video. And then my surgeon, after my first appointment, my 2-week appointment, told me to watch that video. He said, you don't understand why you're hurting so much. He said, you don't see what we do during this surgery. He said, then he told me where to go to find it. He said, pull up that video and watch it. You'll understand. After I watched it, I said, why did I watch this?
Yeah.
Do you think you'd have gotten it if you saw the video before?
Nope. Nope. I'm telling you. Man, they put my leg back behind my head somewhere, and I never thought my leg would go.
That ain't the first time you had your legs behind your head, is it?
Yeah, yes, it is. Trust me.
It's like doing yoga in a coma.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, they basically take your leg off and put it where they want it just so they can get that implant in it.
Damn.
Depends on how far you bend your girl's legs back. You can call it hoga.
Hoga. Yeah, it was that. I mean, I don't get freaked out over that because I've seen surgeries because I worked in the operating room for 12 years.
Sorry about my smelly boots.
Everyone. But when I realized they did that to me, that freaked me out.
Yeah,
it really did. Now I understand why I was in so much pain, though. Ugh.
So, Mac, what you been up to since the last time we got together?
Oh, man. Yeah, I just been busy with work, doing the taking care of the house thing, man. You know how that goes.
Yeah, unfortunately, I do. But I've been trying to enjoy myself, like when I do get out of the house and go out. We were all at the bar one night. I got fucking shit-faced as all hell. And was it you? I can't remember who I was at the bar with. I think it was you and one of your friends, some new people that were there, like, hey, you want to play darts? And yeah, and you were like, don't play him. He's a shark. I was fucking wrecked. I mean, I was wrecked, right? I'm like, okay, I'll play. And the person who I filled in for was like losing horribly. And after maybe seven rounds, I was like, bing, I win.
I was getting ready to ask you, did you wind up winning?
He's yelling. He's like, I told you.
I told you. Don't fucking play that guy.
Dude, the first time I ever played darts with these guys, he had this like electronic thing on his iPad to control the score.
Mm-hmm.
Brother, I was trying to understand the rules, and before I could even understand the rules, Stitch had beat me.
Dude, when I play with Stitch and Rick, dude, I try my hardest, and I still fucking lose.
And the thing about it, the more he drinks, the better he gets.
Yeah, because yeah, I was totally fucking annihilated that night.
Yeah.
And I fucking threw my ass off, and I beat him. What were we playing? Was it 501 or something?
You ain't telling me
that. That's usually what we
play. It was open in, open out, so it was real easy. They didn't have they didn't have like a double out.
Right.
Well, it was like couples playing, like women were playing, too, so it's always 501 when
but I mean when I open it you don't have to do a double in or to do a double in out.
No, nothing.
It's just if it's 15 left, you hit a 15 and you're done.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
See, Stitch drinks and plays darts better. We know this.
No, yeah.
And that same train of thought is what the people who sing karaoke think is happening. They start drinking. They're like, oh, I get better whenever I drink more. And then you hear them like that one chick. I don't know what she was singing, but she sounded like she was yodeling and someone punched her in the throat.
I think I know who you mean. But I think they also listen, so I'm not going to say anything.
Don't name no names.
No, I don't know who it is. I know she ain't good at singing, though.
Oh, boy. That was funny.
Well, hey, I think it was the same night you invited me to come on.
Yeah, that was the night I said, hey, why don't you come to the next podcast?
Yeah.
When we had it was supposed to be a week or 2 weeks earlier, but my anniversary fell in and then we had the studio move and everything.
Moving and all that, yeah.
And the studio's not done yet. As you can hear, there's probably a lot of echo if you're listening right now. We got to put up the soundproofing and whatnot. And I think there's a guy getting his tree cut across the street that we can hear the going on.
I can't hear it in mine.
Thank God we pushed it back a week, though, because I think I needed a week more away from this guy.
We need No, we definitely needed a week to kind of get and just to kind of get to everything together. I think this is a nice setup that we have. But as more work comes about, I think things will get a lot better in here. So anyway, as far as the highball goes,
I was getting ready to
say. Go ahead. How you, Rick?
Oh, I was getting ready to tell you, this is good. I never had one before.
No.
Me either.
No, I like this.
Now, here's the thing. Really I used to drink these, but I didn't know they were called highballs. But it's how, like, what we're doing is a highball is basically a whiskey or a bourbon. And what you do is you mix it with ginger ale. And you serve it in what's called a highball glass. And that's what these are. They're highball glasses.
Oh, okay.
Well,
Now, the reason it's called a highball is because in England, whiskey is known as a ball. When you have a shot of whiskey, you're getting a ball of whiskey.
Oh.
All right. And because the glass is high, it's a high ball.
Is it
that's where it comes from.
It's like the measurement is what's called a ball?
No, just the fact that you have a whiskey, a shot of whiskey. It's known as a ball, a ball of whiskey.
So it has nothing to do with like the ice cubes being a ball.
No,
not at all.
Those are my little special feature.
Okay. What do you do with the little things at the bottom?
You eat it when you're done. Yeah, it's got a maraschino cherry that's in there. But here's the cool thing that I learned about a highball. You can make them different every time and you'll have a different flavor every time. Like right now we're doing Gentleman Jack and ginger ale with a maraschino cherry mixed in there. what you can do is you can have, let's say, Jack Daniel's single malt. And instead of ginger ale, you can add seltzer water.
Mm-hmm.
There's a highball. Just
okay.
Two ingredients. Just your soda water and your liquor.
In Japan, they use almost exclusively, but you can get it in ginger ale and such. They use Coke. So they'll do Suntory, their regular Suntory Japanese whiskey, and Coke on the rocks. It's pretty good, but... Like, I don't know if you've ever heard of Chuhais. You ever heard of Chuhai?
No.
It's kind of like highball, but in a can, but they're flavored. Mm. So they'll do like how I have raspberry or melon or strawberry or whatever.
Oh, so they're like girly drinks.
I guess, but in their culture, they're not
just fucking girly drinks.
So they use Coke. So like, do they like nonstop talk and like off the walls? Or?
Well, that's what I was going to say also. A rum and Coke, when we had Cuba Libres, that is a type of highball.
Okay.
All right. It's your spirit and a soda that's mixed together. That's a highball. But this is a highball.
The glass.
Not a highball type of drink. It's a highball. High that's the yeah. This cocktail is known as a highball, ginger ale and whiskey.
Okay.
That's
it's a not high, like a low glass.
Right.
Like a little
there are highball glass. Drinks like a rum and Coke. You just serve it in a tall glass like that. Put a lemon wedge on it. You got a highball type of cocktail, but it's a rum and Coke.
Right.
Oh, man.
Oh, so as long as you have the glass, anything could be really a highball.
No, that's what I'm saying. This cocktail specifically that you're drinking is a highball.
Made for the
And
the
I served ball. It in a highball glass.
Okay.
That yeah. makes
sense. But you could have any other drink in the
Yeah, you don't have glass. To have Gentleman Jack. You can have the any Tennessee whiskey. You can put in whatever, the Knob, okay, Knob Creek in there. Each different whiskey you use is going to give it a little bit of a different flavor.
I wouldn't.
You don't have to use this ginger ale. You could add like the Verner's vanilla ginger ale or the ginger soda. That would have a different flavor altogether.
Or like a Sprite.
That would be good.
Birch beer.
Birch beer. There you go.
Birch beer would be fire. Yeah. Oh, maybe with some bourbon. Ooh, I think that would smell.
You ever had the recycled beer? You know, they pissing.
Or you could have like Sprite or like Sierra Mist sure. or something in there as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, and that's still a highball. You can make it any way to suit your taste. That's what's cool about this drink.
Yeah.
This is, I'm going to call this Stitch's Highball because it's Gentleman Jack on the Gentleman's Nightery with ginger ale.
I like
that's
it.
All. Yeah, that's.
But it has a nice crisp flavor to it. I really enjoy it.
That's what I was before I hit puberty. Highball.
Your balls were up inside of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can remember being a little kid and I was playing in the playground. I was in religion class actually. We're at St. Rita's in Cohoes, New York. And I was running and I tripped and fell and I fell like this, but I hit my like stomach first because I was arched and it felt like I got kicked in the balls because I was a little kid. My balls were up inside of me. So I landed on my abdomen and I smushed my little fucking nuts and it was the worst, man. That really sucks.
Dude, my dog straight up. While I was sitting on the couch the other day, looks at me, looks at the TV, looks back at me, runs and dives, paws first, right into my nutsack. I was like,
on purpose.
I know.
He did that on purpose.
I was like, why are you targeting me? I'm trying to have kids.
He sounded like Courtney Cox right there. I know. From Friends.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, man. Well, hey, That's our cocktail corner. And you know what? When you hear this episode, go to our webpage, check out the cocktail corner, and we'll have the ingredients. It's not too difficult. Whiskey and ginger ale. Yeah, boom, there exactly. It is. So, yeah, just go to our website, check out the cocktail corner, and everything will be right there for you. So what do you guys think about a mailbag? We got a couple emails, and I know you guys.
Rick loves mailbags.
I know. He loves especially when they come in saying, Rick's a retard.
Does that have anything to do with, like, hey. Colostomy or anything like that?
That's a man bag. Oh, man. Wrong type of man.
That's my when intestine they come
in,
satchel.
When they come in and say, Rick, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Well, anyway, listen, to our listeners, if you'd like to get a message to us, feel free to send us an email at mailbag@thegentlemansnightery.com, or you can use our Contact Us page on our website, thegentlemansnightery.com. We also have a phone number to take your calls, so you can leave us voicemails or call in during the show. And that phone number is 1-412-614-9804. That's 412-614-9804. All right, so let's get to our first email. And I know you. I know Rick is all happy about this. Mm-hmm.
Don't worry, I got a phone number for the haters too.
So. Rick's just nervous because his child's going to hit him back up.
No, I'll get him. I'll get that phone number out later after I see these emails.
All right, well, this one comes to us from Keisha, and Keisha writes to us. This new season is so awesome. You guys make me laugh. The new format with the cocktail corner is awesome. The archived episodes are a great way to fill the gap. I love listening to Stitch and Rick from when they first started and comparing that to these newer episodes. You guys have come a long way. I was in an elevator recently and an overweight woman got on with a fountain drink. And when she got off on the next floor, I was cracking up thinking of Stick telling his story of the woman sucking on a straw and complains she's fat. You guys kill me.
Oh, I can't make it up the stairs.
That's relatable.
It's so specific, too. I mean.
Thanks, Keisha.
Yeah, that was that Keisha's makes me, email.
Hey, yo, Keisha, get your ass over here.
And she's probably like pasty white with red hair. All right. This next one is from Philip. And Philip says, this is so cool that I can reach out to you guys. I feel like I know you. I'm relatively new to listening, but I went back to your first episode and binged on you guys for the entire day. I found your show to be hit or miss, but when it hits perfectly. And now that you're throwing in archived episodes, I'm laughing like crazy. Those older shows where Stitch and Rick are drunk are funny as hell. The reason for my message is to ask for your mailing address. I bought Stitch's books and I wanted to see if he'll sign them for me. I read the one about him growing up in a small town and I'm about to start the one with the Navy hat and panties on the cover. You guys are awesome and you have a fan with it for life with me.
There you go. Yeah.
That's a good email.
Yeah, I like emails like that. Like that.
That's beautiful.
That's now, the best one we've ever gotten.
Rick, why don't you address it? You've read the second book with the panties and the hat on it. What did you think of that book?
Oh, man. He's going to enjoy that one better than the first one. The first one was good, but this one, he's going to love it. Trust me, because it tells everything that you went through in the Navy, and they're all good stories.
They're all true stories.
They're all true stories. And he's just going to sit back and just like, I don't believe this happened. But if he enjoys it like I did, it's going to be good.
I haven't been able to read it yet. It's about four books down on my list.
I don't know about good stories. Last time I was on, you guys were talking about the Thailand women.
The boy girls. The girl boys.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that was a hilarious.
Yeah, that's
story,
Rick's
dude.
Favorite topic.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
No, hey, Phil, because you sent us your contact information, we'll reach back to you with a mailing address, and I'd be happy to sign a book for you. Once again, if you'd like to get a gift from our show, just like Keisha and Phil are going to do, or if you just like to have your message read on the show, send an email to mailbag@thegentlemansnightery.com. And contact us on our webpage at the contact us page of thegentlemansnightery.com. Or if you feel daring, you can leave us a voicemail at 412-614-9804. And that is our mailbag.
I really wish people would call into that number.
Yeah, so would I, but they don't. I check it every day. There's never a voicemail on there.
Is it like a separate number?
Yeah, this podcast has its own phone line ready for calls. What we do is we try to get people, like we post it on our webpage saying, here's what the day that we're recording. So if they want, they can just call right into us in that time and just be a part of the show, call into the show.
Like if someone called right now, we could have them on the show.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Like in the future, if you wanted to be on the show, but you couldn't make it here, just call the line and call in.
That's what I've been doing.
Then you'd have your own voice on the show, you know?
Yeah.
Or if you think of something funny throughout your day, call it and fucking leave a voicemail about it.
Just express your opinion. Just knowing that you have that, you know, that platform to, you know, express how you feel about something.
Yes, yeah, well, cool. Especially with all the haters that we have. We have a bunch of people that call it. You
They're
sound like
too, right?
What is it? Don Pardo with a lisp or something. Like, fuck you, motherfuckers, man. That's fucking ridiculous, you prick.
Well, like I said, if you want me to get that phone number out for the haters, I'll give it out.
Oh, I just gave it. So, yeah, if they're listening, they can.
No, I mean, I got a different number for the haters.
1-800 fuck off.
No, it's close.
All comers are welcome.
I was gonna say 1-800-99 blow me.
Yeah. Well, you're gonna respond either way. So like,
our haters hate cartoons.
Oh, yeah.
They jerk off the cartoons, I think.
No, no. Magnus has been posting like a lot to the Gentleman's Nightery listeners group that we have on Facebook. And there's this one girl that's always harassing him, going, I don't understand this. This doesn't make sense. And then she actually like reached out to me. Can you make him stop? I'm like, will you fucking knock it off? What the fuck?
Just fucking and don't
you,
listen.
Then. And you told her to just don't listen. If you I said, listen. Don't listen to it. We said, we're or like, don't read it.
How are you forcing yourself to listen to something?
Well, no, it was just, it was a picture, like the cartoon pictures of something that happened.
It was a meme. And she didn't like that it was a meme.
Well, she didn't. She thinks that everything has to pertain like to the Gentleman's Nightery.
She got offended.
Yeah. So because it didn't have to do with the Gentleman's Nightery, she was like, why is that there? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. So that was our mailbag. What we're going to do is take a quick break so we can refresh our drinks because Rick already finished his.
Oh, I killed it.
I know. You inhale it.
Oh, my God.
We're going to empty our bladders. But, you know, when we get back, again, I'm going to share a secret with you about an old tradition that we're bringing back to the Gentleman's Nightery. And if you think you know what it is, Magnus believes he knows what it is. Rick looks like he thinks he knows what it is. But
I don't know.
Anyway, and we'll be back here on the Gentleman's Nightery.
It's the Gentleman's Nightery with Stitch, Rick, and Magnus.
Oh, man. So, I'm thinking that this is going to be my new drink.
Your highball.
It's really good.
I'm really fucking enjoying this. This is nice.
It's such an easy drink.
It's my first time ever drinking it. It's fucking
it's
the first one I've
like
ever
you know how
had
sometimes you'll get like if you did a rum and coke you get a lot of that rumminess and it's just you know you're drinking like an alcohol, but this is like just a nice refreshing zesty drink that I could drink at work if I wanted to.
It's nice and smooth. Everything is not
but
strong.
they're a little scary.
This probably
they taste so good.
Probably one of them ones to sneak up on you.
This
later.
One I actually like this one better. I made this instead of with Gentleman Jack. This has Knob Creek in it.
That's better.
That's what you have now. You have the Knob.
Oh, I got 100 proof, right?
No. I think that's 90.
That's 90.
Yeah.
It's such a simple drink. You don't need to do muddling of any sort. You could just mix it all in. You know.
Yeah.
And it's not a hard drink to make.
No, two ingredients. You do 2 ounces of your favorite liquor. And then fill the rest with a long pour of your favorite soda, like ginger ale, seltzer water, Coke, whatever you want. Anyway, for our listeners, we want to welcome you back to the Gentleman's Night. And as I promised, I had a bit of information or a surprise I wanted to share with everyone. And I mean everyone, because Rick and Magnus aren't even aware of what this bit of news is.
Uh-oh.
Now, the Gentleman's Nightery is bringing back a new segment to the show. And it's one we did before we did the format change. Magnus, do you think you know what it is?
I think I do. But I might be wrong.
Boomers. That's right. Bitch. Yeah. We're going to be bringing back the Boomers bitch.
Never would have thought of that.
That's my favorite one.
Yeah. We used to end the show when we were the inebriated basement with a Boomers bitch to complain about things. And I think that's still appropriate. We should be able to end the show because we're both Boomers. He might not be, but I mean, it leads us to that. Let us be them old fucking boomers who just complain about everything.
I hear you.
The Boomers bitch is coming back.
Yeah. Conversation.
What's that?
It's like the conversation between like boomers and then.
Oh, yeah. But the bitch is going to be like, here's an example. The Boomers bitch would be something like.
The email.
not even that. No, like, you know, I was driving home and I was behind this old lady who wasn't driving the speed limit. I want to bitch about that experience.
Okay.
Or, you know, old people who bitch about young people the way they dress or the smell of marijuana. That's always in, you know,
there you go.
Just shit like that. Just whatever old people want to bitch about what young people do.
Okay.
So.
So you have to put yourself in our shoes to understand where we're coming from.
What size should you wear?
13, but anyway,
I can't fit those shoes. Dude.
But I mean, you know, just think about how people in our generation feel about the generation these days, and think about what y'all do that pisses us off.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think about like when we were younger and our parents and uncles and stuff bitched about us.
They did.
You know, look at these kids with their fucking long hair these days. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of shit. It's just,
we
would look at them like, fuck you, old mother. Well, now we're in that position where exactly. Look at these kids smoking weed on the corner. Fuck you, man. You know, just.
Well, dude, it just
keeps going.
Yeah.
As a millennial, like, I grew up like with older parents, like old soul parents. I resonate with you guys probably more than my own generation.
Yeah.
Because I don't really.
Mag's the same way. When we first brought Mag and we were expecting to get that younger look on the way we looked at things. Mm-hmm. And he didn't. He's just like us.
He was supposed to disagree with us a lot, but he didn't.
I'm sorry.
Well, not a lot. But
well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We still will disagree on some important things sometimes.
I mean, from the way you look at it, like there could be a disagreement, but I think I lean more towards like the boomer side.
Yeah, and that's why I thought we'd bring it back because we got a younger kickback for us. So like right. We bitch about something, and if they agree, they agree. If they don't, you know, we get their side of it.
Right.
That weed thing you were talking about, we were talking about that at work, and I was like, if this guy can smoke a blunt walking down the street, why can I not drink a beer walking down the
exactly.
street?
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to fuck this guy up for smoking. Why can't I drink?
I ain't been
wait,
here
so you while. Guys as you guys like as boomers, like you guys didn't smoke like a lot of weed?
Well, I didn't smoke a lot of weed just because that was me. I didn't. I mean, I tried it as a teenager in high school, but then when I went in the Navy, I didn't fuck with it because I was in the Navy.
Right.
And then when I got out, I was like, I don't need that. It's just it's not who I am.
Because the way I view like the 70s like is like a lot of smoking, a lot of acid, a lot of hippies.
See, acid was my thing. Me I too. Loved acid. All right. We yeah. Matter of fact, we would do it on Friday nights because it was Friday night.
I've never done.
And we would go down to Mr. O's liquor store in downtown San Diego, and we would get a bottle of schnapps, like peppermint schnapps. Then we'd walk across the street to where the YMCA is. And there was always this old guy sitting on the steps of the YMCA. And I don't know what his real name was, but we called him Uncle Sidney. So we'd walk up, we'd go, Sid, what's up? and he'd hook us up for five. And I don't know what it cost these days, but it was like $5. And you would get like two blots on a piece of paper.
Oh, my God.
And everybody would, you know, and he would give us like a sheet after we all chipped in and we'd all break off our blots. Mm-hmm. Then we'd get in the car and start heading to Imperial Beach. And on the way there, we would crack open the schnapps. Put the blots on, drink them down, you know, wash them in our mouth. And then by the time we got to the apartment, it would start kicking in. And I remember the first time I did this, man, I walked into this little apartment and the door opened and the living room was like to the left. And to the right was this long counter that had like a galley kitchen behind it. And then straight ahead was like a bedroom and a bathroom. Mm-hmm. And when I walked in, I looked at the counter and there were some magazines. So I went over and I grabbed it. It was a High Time magazine. And I'm flipping through the pages, and it's fucking with me. But then when I got to the end, there was an advertisement on the back, and it was of legal pills that you can get. They were just like caffeine pills or herbs and mm-hmm. shit like that. But it was in the shape of a comet on the page.
Oh, okay.
So it was like a comet, and it was like you can get in all these pills in the comet. And it was naming them all off that you could buy legally.
Yeah.
But with the acid in my head. As I turned and I seen the comet went whoosh, and it flew off the page.
Oh my God.
And it started going around, and I'm like in the kitchen, like following this thing around. Everybody's like, oh, he started already. And I was tripping hard, man.
I have some good stories.
Well, the guy who would organize it, his girlfriend would not. She wouldn't smoke, she wouldn't drink, she wouldn't do anything. She was there to monitor and make sure nobody got hurt.
Trips
it. Yeah.
So yeah, basically, right. Yes.
Trips
it. So anyway. It hit me quick, and she stayed on me pretty much. And I was like, I just want to get outside and get some air. It's like, no, you can't leave. I'm like, no, you don't understand. I need to get outside. Now, when you open the door, it was like a porch, and you had to go down these steps because we were up on the second floor. So I open the door. She walks out with me and keeps me from going near the steps. And I'm kind of leaning over the railing, and I look down, and I seen the largest fucking cockroach you could imagine. And I go, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And she's like, what's wrong? I'm like, look at the size of that fucking roach, man. And she's looking like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, you don't see it. And it was a huge, like a fucking 7-foot cockroach. Mm-mm-mm. She's like, you don't see that? And they're all like, I'm telling everybody, come out and look. And they're all looking down like, what? And I'm like, that fucking cockroach.
You were fucking tripping.
So I get down there, and it wasn't a cockroach. I'm looking down on a motorcycle. To me, the handlebars were antennas. The seat was like the shell. Oh, the kickstand was one of the legs, but I thought it was a fucking cockroach.
Fucking massive.
So I'm telling myself now, I need to sit the fuck down because obviously there's something wrong with me now that I see it's got a headlight. So I go back upstairs and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, these motherfuckers knew what they did to me. They're jerks. They did this to me on purpose. Oh, they got me fucked up. Now, inside, my inner devil's working on me, right?
Yeah.
So as my friends are all sitting around talking, listening to music, I stand up and I go like this. Look what you've done to this man. They all looked at me, and my friend Earl was like, Stitch, you better sit the fuck down before I punch you in the fucking face. And I'm like, and I literally went, and in my mind, my hand was on fire, and I was like, I am the devil. So guess what they seen? They seen the devil, because I said it, because acid's like a suggestive drug. So my buddy Earl grabs me, and the girl that wasn't doing nothing, she, both of them, they pushed me into the bathroom. They're like, you need to relax. You need to chill the fuck out. Now, in that time frame of everything was going on, I kept going like this to everybody. Hey, what time is it? Oh, it's like 9:40. Hey, what time is it? It's like 9:41. To me, it was like an hour had gone by. Yeah,
yeah. I know exactly what you mean.
What time is it? God. It's almost 10 o'clock. Oh, man. Wow, what the fuck? So time is just so slow. So and it makes you think a lot about shit. Yeah. And it's very suggestive. Someone would say, like when I was sitting there before the devil incident happened, someone goes, wow, look at the rug. And I look at the rug. I'm like, what about it? They're like, it's moving like the ocean. And all of a sudden, the rug was fucking moving. So when I stood up and did my devil thing, everybody seen the fucking devil. They were freaking out.
Yeah.
So they pushed me into the bathroom and I'm putting water on my face. And just as I'm looking up to look into the mirror, for some reason, I thought about the movie Poltergeist. And do you remember when that guy went in the bathroom and like he ate a chicken and had the maggots? He was tearing his face. Uh-huh. So as I looked up in the mirror and I was thinking about that, all of a sudden my eye was melting and my cheeks were melting. And I'm like, I freaked the fuck out.
You never look in a mirror when you're tripping.
Yeah, some good shit.
So
you fucking tripped.
They brought me back and they put me in this chair. And I remember reclining back in this recliner. And the only thing that existed in that moment was me, the recliner I was in, that little strip of carpet, and the stereo that was playing music. And I'll never forget what was playing. It was Kansas, Carry On My Wayward Son was playing coming out of the speaker. Now, everybody's over in the kitchen area talking about shit. And I heard someone say, is Stitch all right? And they're like, yeah, man, he's in his own world. And as soon as they said that, me, the strip of carpet, and the stereo were like, we are flying through space. And I was like, that's right, motherfucker. And then I fell asleep. I passed the fuck out. But when I woke up the next morning, man, I was tripping balls. I was fucking,
you were still
speeding.
Fucking high?
I was speeding like a motherfucker. And we would do that every Friday night following. That was our Friday night.
Friday night.
You trip every Friday?
Every Friday. You guys
are insane. So that was like the significant moment that you had.
That was my worst and best
trip. Your worst trip.
Yeah. Anything after that, which is fun. But that one there was the one, the first one was the most significant one. Yeah. It really got me good.
Yeah. Usually is the first
one. Dude, I fucking, I didn't do anything like that. I took mushrooms. I tripped one time.
Did you do mushrooms?
I did mushrooms one time and it wasn't, it's not like a crazy story, but like, I stripped naked into my boxers and I went outside my front, like, cause we have like a little yard, and I laid down in the yard and I looked up into the space and she was like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm trying to bring all the stars to me. And that's what I was like, come sit here. You can bring the stars with us. We can all do this together.
Bruce
that's
Almighty.
That's the only time I ever fucking tripped a little bit.
Oh my goodness.
But your story was way better. Oh, that'd be so funny.
Have you guys
funny.
Ever heard of Nelson's Ledges?
Never.
It's in Ohio. It's like a it's called Nelson's Ledges Quarry Park. It's like an old quarry from the 1800s, and they made it into a campground pretty much.
Okay.
But people have these big festivals there, they put on concerts, stuff like that. So we went there. Did a lot of
like
bit.
Raves?
Yeah. They play regular shows there too, guitar music. Anyway. We each do a little bit of Sid, you know, take our hit. I had maybe 3 or 4 and we're waiting. This guy comes up and that is when I start tripping nuts. This guy comes up and he goes, hey, I'm Skinny Blunts.
My friends call me skinny blunts because I don't have a lot of money. So I rolled these really skinny blunts. Do you guys want to smoke with me? And we were like, sure, come on over. We knew what he was doing. He wanted us to roll one too. So, sure.
Yeah,
so he could smoke. Anyway, my buddy Kevin's there and he is out of his mind. He did acid. He smoked DMT. He probably was doing heroin. I don't know.
Nope. Damn. Damn.
Anyway. He's
still breathing.
That's a good mixture.
He gets the blunt from Skinny Blunt and he throws it in the fire. And we're like, what are you doing, Kevin? And Skinny Blunt is like, bro, what the fuck? You just threw my blunt in the fire. And Kevin's all fucked up. He's like, oh, fuck you, Skinny Blunts. Fuck you. I quit smoking cigarettes this week, and you gave me a blunt with tobacco in it. You owe me a pack of cigarettes.
Oh,
and he's like,
shit.
You just threw my blunt in the fire, and I owe you a pack of cigarettes?
I'll say this about acid, though. Acid doesn't interrupt you. Like when I drink too much whiskey, I get whiskey dick. I either can't come or I can't get hard.
Right.
Whiskey. Acid doesn't do that to you. Acid, you can still function. You can still, like...
Not me.
You're right.
You can't have sex after doing acid?
Dude, I can't even get hard whenever I'm on.
Really?
Yeah. No fucking way.
Dude, I don't even think about sex when I'm, like, tripping.
Mm.
The only time, like, I'm, like, it fucking feels amazing is, like, when I'm really, like, high on weed. Like, when I smoke a lot of weed.
Yeah.
The feeling is fucking amazing.
Sex is pretty good on weed.
I
won't lie about that.
I can't smoke, man.
Even better on Molly. I don't know if you've ever done Molly.
You and Nadine got to go on vacation.
Nah, it doesn't appeal to me. Matter of fact, here, when my daughter was staying with us, she would smoke, and I told her, I'm talking about Jaquay. She would sit on a porch and she would smoke a joint, and then she'd put it out in the ashtray. I came out one day to have a cigarette, and I looked down, and I see a little roach in the ashtray, and I'm thinking, you know what? Let me try this. So I pick up this little roach, and I go, and I put it right back out, one hit. And then I said, Zanae, let's go down to the bar. We walked down to the bar, and before I even got there, I was like, holy fuck, dude. I came around the corner, and your dad was standing there. He's like, hey, man, you all right? I'm like, I'm so high from one fucking hit, man.
My dad's the last person you want to see when you're high.
Dude, I don't know, just from hearing what you were telling that story, like, I know that your voiceover stuff is going to be so good. The way that you just did the blunt thing was perfect. The sound effect was great. It sounded like literally right next to you while you're smoking a blunt. That was good.
Well, you mentioned the voiceover gig I got, and I just want to let everybody know, because I want to bring attention to this, because I think it'll help. I am going to be voicing a character called Leo Braun for a storytelling podcast. I found this guy. He was looking for voices, and I've been wanting to get into voice work. He sent me a script, and I did the script, and I'm going to be the lead character, Leo Braun, which I thought was kind of fucking cool. Leo Braun is basically like this homicide detective who dies, and he goes to hell, and he works for hell finding these unsanctioned possessions and trying to stop them. Matter of fact, here.
You know, when you think about your death, you hope that it's planned, that it's expected, and it'll go painless, that you'll go out with some dignity. You hold out for the hope that you've said everything you need to say to those you loved, that you've exhausted every opportunity to share how much they all mean to you. Well, when I did die, none of those hopes were realized. It was a shock, sudden, tragic, and violent. I don't even remember it. Well, it's not entirely true. I have snapshots, memories, dark room, a man with an ugly orange tie, but the details of my death have been documented, believe me, I've read them. They're on a single piece of paper in bold black ink, filed away in a cabinet. It coldly describes my untimely demise. Killed in the line of duty, it says. You see, in my past life, I was a highly decorated homicide detective. I was reaching my 25th year on the force when it happened. Left behind a wife, a son, a promising career, and a bitch of a mortgage. Now my life is framed by the shadow of regrets and second chances. Life. How could I have a life when I'm not even living? Who knew I'd have to go to hell to find redemption? My name's Leo Braun, and I'm a demon hunter.
And now on the phone, we have the writer, producer, and creator of this new storytelling podcast, Jason Beard. Jason, welcome to the Gentleman's Nightery.
Hi, gentlemen. It's nice to be here.
Who is Leo Braun?
Who is Leo Braun? Well, that's a good question. Leo Braun is he's a homicide detective, a highly decorated homicide detective who's killed the line of duty. But he's got the qualities that I always sort of gravitate towards. Example that I use is, if you have Luke or you have Han Solo, I always gravitated towards Han Solo. You know, he was rough and tumble, maybe a little self-centered at times, but he could get the job done. And I've just always gravitated towards those people, not the super pretty boy type, right, you know? Yeah. I just imagine Leo in the same way. You know, he's tough, he gets the job done, he's got a good heart, but you know, he's got an edge to him. So that's why I think I always sort of liked writing him, because he satisfied all those qualities for me. It's just like tough, just a tough dude.
And now, from what we hear from the sneak peek that we took, he is in fact a demon hunter. What ever gave you the idea of a demon hunter for a story?
Yeah, I love horror movies. I'm a huge film buff. I was always an aspiring filmmaker myself, and I loved horror movies. But you know, not every horror movie is equal in quality or equal in scares. And The Exorcist was one that always scared me. It still does, even if I watch it today. And so I loved the idea of demonic possession, but I liked the police procedural sort of aspect to it. So instead of it being, like a priest dealing with it, you would use some of those methods, but it would be done in sort of the crime procedural, taking these steps. And if you take these steps, then you can try and release the possessed from their demonic spirit. So that just really attracted to me. And then I just started running with that.
I didn't pick that up, but now that you say that, it really is very apparent. That's the way it was written.
Yeah. 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 I think I wanted to try and avoid, I don't want to step on anyone's actual beliefs or anything like that. It's not to alter anything that's ever been written or what anyone believes, but it was just this is just a new angle, in order to accomplish the same thing, in that they're trying to help people. So in the sense, even though they have to track down the human subject who may be possessed, what they're really after is freeing that demonic spirit so that they can then capture the demon and incarcerate them, which, down the road, Stitch, you don't know this yet, but you'll have a few episodes dealing with that.
can't wait to hear it.
Can you imagine being in hell and then having to go to jail in hell? That would just suck.
Exactly.
So not only are you in hell, you're locked up in jail.
You're locked up in jail. Yeah, exactly.
You get extra hell.
Yeah. Hell plus. Yeah. Well, we were talking about this is dropping May 1st is the first episode coming out. How many episodes altogether do you have lined up for this?
So I originally, when I wrote it as a screenplay for a television series all those years ago, I was thinking it would be a 12 episode story arc for the first season, but taking some things out now, editing it for the podcast medium, probably between 8 and 10 episodes.
8 and 10.
What kind of bumps in the road were there for you during this? And like, how did you keep going to stick with putting your story out there?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. So, the initial bump, of course, was just completely, crashing when I tried my first pitch with some television producers. I didn't know what I was doing, but they gave me some really good advice on how to pitch moving forward. They also said that they could tell it was a good idea. So that kind of always stuck with me. And then beyond that, just life and having children and a couple divorces.
And been there, done that.
And, needing a job and those types of things. So I did sort of set aside Leo Braun for a long time as it collected dust, but for whatever reason, I've never been able to completely let it go. And it was the one, when I thought about actually delving into the podcast industry, I had a completely different idea. It was actually going to be more of a movie discussion sort of podcast. And then my wife was the one that said, why don't you do Leo Braun? I mean, you got all the resources right there. And I thought, you're right. That's what I should be doing. So, that's how it started. Beyond that, the only bumps and bruises right now are just learning the ropes of the industry, learning, you know, how to get it out there, the marketing of it, working with voice talent, is new to me, but I'm actually really enjoying that. There's really no downside to that so far. So, that's up to now, like in 2024, those are the impediments I'm trying to move through, or just learning the ropes. I'm kind of a novice.
I see your story as like really the mark of a man. Because, and not Leo Braun, I just mean like your story, because like what you were saying, you had this dream of yours and you ended up having to sacrifice it for a while so you could support your family. And that's pretty admirable. But now that you're coming back to it, you're really fulfilling yourself. You know, I see why you eventually came back to it.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I don't know. I mean, I've been in the IT industry for almost 20 years, and I'm grateful for it. It's kept food on the table, but it isn't necessarily the most fulfilling job. And my heart is in the creative world, telling stories, and this has just turned out to be the best way to do that. So I'm so excited, and I can't wait. It wasn't just me joking around with, you know, my family, which I did a lot of like short films and stuff like that. So that was really it. I think as far as like the podcast medium, it's just learning the ropes. I mean, you guys are doing it, but I'm learning all of this for the first time. So I can't wait for everybody to finally hear it. And I'm so thankful for Stitch and all of you, and for everyone that has agreed to be a part of this so far.
I feel honored to be a part of it, honestly. When I first read this script, I was like, I know this character. I can be this character. And I love it. Every time you send a new script and I read through it, I'm like, oh, I can't wait. And I look forward to starting with it. So, and I know our listeners probably can't wait to check out the first episode. So come May 1st, so look for Leo Braun on Apple Podcasts and all your popular podcast platforms. It will be there May 1st, you said, correct?
That's correct.
All right. And now you also said you were going to have this on Patreon.
Yeah. So Patreon, that's kind of where I'm going to host it. And the idea for Patreon, because I listen to some podcasts on there. And, you know, you can listen to some of the episodes for free, but for those that really want to explore the world, you can subscribe, to the, Leo Braun channel that's on Patreon. And within that, you'll get extra artwork, additional audio files and case files, and some of the scripts and those types of things. So there'll be additional materials there.
I didn't know there was artwork. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. I haven't shown it yet, but there's some really cool art, some concept art that I was able to work with to basically sort of give you a visual of what these characters might look like, and some of the locations that are mentioned in the show, what they may look like.
Awesome. Okay, Rick, any questions from you? Anything? You sort of sit back and absorbing it, but
I was just listening. I just have one question for you.
Yeah.
Did we grow up together? Because it seems like we sat in the same room in the same chair and everything else, watching the same movies. And I said before about the Exorcist, and they scared the crap out of me. That's why I won't even look at it today. But I love, my favorite genre is horror. And I have it so bad that it instilled into my kids. They watch the same movies and horror flicks and everything else that I do. So it's all good, and it's really interesting what you came up with, and I can't wait to even listen to more of them.
Awesome. No, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, I'm glad, Rick, that you've been able to instill that in your kids. I feel like I have to force my kids to watch anything that I like.
My kids just fell right into it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, hey, Jace, I thank you for taking the time to spend with us and talk about this project that you're working on. I encourage all of our listeners to go ahead and download and look for Leo Braun and check it out. You won't be disappointed.
No, I appreciate it, Stitch, so much. Thanks for having me on the show today. And I'm a big fan. I dedicated some time to finally start listening. I love the cocktail corner. I love everything that I'm hearing so far. And if I do say I love that there's comedy, but then you also do dive into some serious topics too. So that was really cool.
Oh, we appreciate that. And we appreciate you mentioning us at the end of your episode.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, man. Well, hey, thanks again. And I look forward to that next script coming in.
It's on its way.
All right. Hey, thanks. Good talking to you.
Yeah. Thanks, Jason.
Yeah. Good talking to you. Thank you so much.
So what do you guys think? That sounds like, is that a podcast you'd listen to? Is a storytelling podcast?
Dude, thank you, Mr. Beard, for your 12 years of dedication. I am excited to hear it, especially with the voice.
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome. The different, I don't know, I've heard your different tones throughout the podcast recordings, and I'm excited to hear what you can do.
You know what? When I first read the script, I thought, I know this guy. I know who Leo Braun is. And
yeah, I wonder why.
Yeah. But no, the voice that I'm using, it's going to be Leo Braun. That's Leo. I got this like noir film in my head, you know, like the old 40s detective, you know,
I'm a Casablanca.
Yeah. The guy who narrates to himself as he's walking, you know, that kind of thing. And that's what this is going to be like. I'm excited for it. So again, anybody listening, check it out. It's going to be dropping May 1st. Leo Braun, and I'll have links on our webpage for it.
Yeah, because I'm definitely listening to that too.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's interesting. Yeah, with the new hell the way it's going to be, I wonder. Oh, please don't tip over, God, please.
They're empty. They're empty.
I know. That's what makes them louder. But my question was with the new hell. I wonder if they're going to have like a boner medication in hell. You think dead people will still be able to have sex? Because I know in heaven you're not having sex.
Dude, if I'm going to hell, dude, I'm taking that fucking boner medication. That's all I got left.
You think that's part of what hell is? Like, still hell, but you got to get fucked in the ass by the devil.
Okay, so there's pleasure involved. It's just not your pleasure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, if there is boner medication, I'll probably give it to him too. Because if I deserve to be in hell, I mean, I deserve to be fucked right.
What is it?
Would you want to be fucked in the ass by the devil?
No.
If I'm in hell, then I deserve to be fucked by the devil.
Let me ask you a serious question.
I deserve to be.
Is it gay if a guy takes a dick in his ass?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Is that a?
I wasn't specific, so let me be more specific. Is it gay if a guy lets his wife slip a dildo in his ass?
No.
Yes.
No.
No. It's the same thing.
No, it's not.
There's not a man attached to it.
No, it's not.
But it's the same fucking thing.
No, it's not. Being gay means you're attracted to a guy. Yeah. You want a guy to give you a good fucking in the ass. But if a man is with his wife and the wife says, let me do this, and he loves her enough to say, go ahead and do it.
She's trying to make him
feel
good.
What do you mean he loves her enough to let him do it?
Or he likes getting banged in the ass with a dildo.
Here's why I'm saying. Let me explain why.
If he wants to get a dildo in his ass, he should be with a man.
Let me explain why I'm saying this, all right? Nadine is doing this thing where she's been ordering sex toys and she reviews them, okay?
Okay.
So she's got like a closet full of fucking dildos and vibrators, mm-hmm. all right? And she's got this one. It's purple. It's got like a curved handle and it's got like the bumps on it, right?
Ripped.
And it fucking vibrates. And while she was going down on me, she's like, pop, pop, popped it in my ass.
Oh, hell no.
Hold up. Wait, hold on. Hold on.
I'm about
dude,
it.
Dude, I'm out.
Hold on.
I'm 100%
out. Dude, it hit my prostate, it was the combination of her mouth on my dick and that thing up in my ass. Oh, my God. I was ready to bust a nut. I didn't want it to end. And now all I can think about is I want that purple thing. I want to go to sleep with that thing vibrating in my ass,
oh
man.
Oh, my God.
Dude, when you kidding me? when you get too drunk and your wife's trying to get you off or whatever, that's like the get out of jail free card when you can't finish. Hey, she's just like,
hey, listen to me. Yeah. I understand that's a man's G-spot, but I don't know if
it is fucking incredible. It's not gay if it's a piece of plastic that vibrates.
I don't think it's gay because it's not a man.
It's not gay if you're underway.
It just feels...
What's the guy's name?
It's not gay, but it feels gay. The trucker that likes
you, he's going to be calling your ass.
Yeah, Tom the gay trucker.
There you go. He's going to be calling us. Yeah.
No, well, listen, in my defense, this thing, it has like a little pea size on the top, and then it gets a little bigger and a little bigger. She only went like to the third popper. All right. It didn't get down anything big. Dude, I didn't break my virginity. All right.
You're a bussy. You're such a bussy, dude.
It may get to the point where we're able to go a couple more notches. I'm telling you. I love this motherfucking thing. And I told her, I says, hey, break out that purple thing. I like that.
Dude, I want it to feel like the backwoods of West Virginia in my asshole.
It's going to get real bad.
My personal perspective is like I could go the rest of my life with not feeling how that feels.
What a faggot.
Oh, I can too, but. What a faggot. It's going to be.
Take his man card away.
Dude, it has nothing to do with being gay. It feels good. If you don't like it, that makes you a faggot.
Well, beautiful. We need to start worrying about Stitch when he starts using it on himself.
I will use that motherfucker on myself. I'm telling you. I told Nadine. I says, give me that. I'll take it. I'll sit on it in a car. I'll drive to New York.
I'll do it myself.
I'll drive to New York with that motherfucker. Like,
you need a cellular connected one so she can control it while you're driving. Stitch gets onto the highway. He hits a red light.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm open to it or if I just think it's gay.
All right, let me just say this.
I don't like butt stuff.
You have to open up to it.
Let your girl. Let your girl lube her finger up real good and just sort of slowly slide it in your ass while she's going down on you. I'm telling you, you'll fucking thank me for it.
Does she have to move her fingers around?
She don't have to do anything. Just slowly put it in. And then when she gets to where your prostate is.
You know what's funny is.
All you do is you better reach up and it's like right there. Boink, boink, boink.
I actually have jacked off and kind of put a little pinky in my
butt. Oh, so you have done it.
He is a light shit.
No. Just tickled the outside. I didn't go in.
I didn't inhale.
Bussy. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Missed my pinky.
Hey, fucking guys.
No, I'm not gay.
Okay, so it feels good?
It feels incredible.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. And especially with that vibrating thing I had, that vibration, I told her, I grabbed her head and she's like, eh. I'm like, don't stop. Don't fucking stop. Oh my God, it was intense. It was super intense.
Do you still respect the values of what your woman can do, or can you just get a man to fucking fuck you in the ass?
No, I don't want a man.
No, it's not going that far.
Here's what happens if a man comes near me. Dude.
Yeah.
Really? I will not be hard. Why would I be hard with a man?
I look at my wife. Hard, I'm attracted to my wife. My wife gives my wife.
Like a really pretty man.
My wife is fuck, there's no such thing as a pretty man. My wife is my Viagra. I look at her and I'm like, boing, she gets me erect.
That's all I am.
If she wanted to fucking stick her tongue in my ass while she jerks me off, do your thing, baby. That's your thing. I'm here for you. And if she wants to slide a purple fucking vibrator up my ass, do your thing, baby. I'm here for you because I'm going to do shit to her. She lets me do shit most women won't do.
Damn.
So I figure it's only fair to do it back.
Maybe it's a little offsetting to me because we're more traditional. We just have regular sex.
Well, a lot of people do. I mean,
but let me ask you, does it work for you?
We've tried. I've tried different things.
Then that's your thing.
But
that's
like,
cool.
But yeah, like, exactly. If I want to fucking spray out because somebody's got their finger in my ass, I'll spray out more if a finger's in my ass.
There you go.
That's
There's nothing wrong with that, but
it just feels so gay.
It's not, though. And that's why I brought this up.
I see where this is coming from.
I'm very traditional, so like it's like it feels gay.
If somebody's
doing something to my ass.
A man attracted to a man and a man wants a man. Like I look at these guys who I'm gonna fess up to something here that I shouldn't.
I don't even let her touch my ass.
Hold on, listen. I watched trans porn. So if a guy has sex with a trans girl, and I talked to a coworker about this, and I'm like, is he gay? He went down on her. He put a penis in his mouth. He allowed a penis in his ass. Even though it's a trans woman, it's still a man. It's still a penis.
Like a model chick. He's sucking this model chick's dick.
Yeah, she looked like a gorgeous girl, but had a penis.
Weird.
That's still, is that gay?
So weird to me.
Yeah, I think so, because he knows it's a guy's penis.
Dude, okay, so have you seen that, where that chick... And the guy, or actually, it's not.
Damn, you guys are boomers.
The guy starts talking about. He's like, yeah, I date my transgender girlfriend. It's not gay. And he's like, I look at her dick. It's girly. I don't know.
That's like what this guy said I work with. He said it's her clit. I'm like, dude, that's not a clit. That's a penis.
Mm. Uh-huh.
He goes, I suck on her clit. I'm like, no, you're sucking on a dick. Yeah.
It's an inverted penis.
You are a cocksucker, sir.
Exactly.
That's not an insult, but it's just a fact.
It's the truth. Yeah,
it's a fact.
Exactly. Dude, I saw this funny video. It's just like a regular, stupid video that you watch like wherever. But it was like a transgender woman that was like, how do I tell my boyfriend that I'm transgender?
Show him your penis.
And there was music behind it. And then the man responded, it segued to the man response. Like, oh, that explains the cock.
Yeah.
I see those things on Jerry Springer where, I think it's time that I tell him that I'm trans or I was born a man. And I'm like, wait, you've been with this guy for 2 months. You guys have had sex and he doesn't know you're a man.
Dude, that one pales in comparison to the lady that goes on there. And she's like, so Mari, I don't believe that he's black. And this guy is clearly black. And she's like, Mari goes, you haven't told her? It's been like, they're together for like 5 years.
I would do that about Nadine. When I was in my office, the housekeeping people wanted to come in and vacuum. So I got up and left. And as they're vacuuming, the woman looks on my desk and there's a picture of me and Nadine. And she turns, she goes, I didn't know your wife was black. And I went, she is? She gave me this look like, uh-oh.
That's exactly how I look at shit. Like, who cares? Who mm-hmm. gives a fuck?
Yeah.
I don't.
But at the same time, I'm not putting a dildo on my ass.
Dude, don't be such a bussy. Just let it happen.
Dude, I have trouble shitting already.
Why would you have trouble shitting if it's wider?
There you go. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I ain't getting
it. Next question, sphincter binder.
Hey, you know what your farts sound
like? I think it's the image. I think it's the image.
You know what your farts sound like afterwards?
Yeah. I'm proud of my farts, dude. I'm proud of my farts.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't want them to sound any different.
There you go.
He said, I don't want my tone to change or my pitch.
Yeah, dude. If I put a big ass dildo, but if my girl wants to put a big ass dildo in my ass, my tone of voice will change. It'll get really high.
I'm not saying I had a big giant ass dildo in my. I had a vibrating butt plug basically, and it was. I'm telling you, it wasn't a dildo. It wasn't someone's penis. It wasn't anything. She didn't strap on a cock and fuck me. But I told her that. If she wanted to peg me, I'd let her peg me because that's my wife. That's my. I'll do anything for her.
Oh my god, that's crazy.
As long as she don't turn into a man during the situation.
Have you guys ever played Halo?
No.
You
mean like a video game?
Yeah.
No, I've never played. I thought it was like sex gaming.
When I was like 15 years old.
You guys are interrupting a lot right now.
Sorry, my bad.
No, you're good. In Halo, whenever you kill the Flood, which is like one of the villains that you have to kill, it goes, yay! So my buddy Odell and I, we're like, if I ever had a sound effect for whenever I finished coming. It would be the sound of you shooting the flood in the head. Yay!
Do you guys make weird noises when you finally reach orgasm? Rick, what's your noise?
I scream.
You scream.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Hell.
Do you have a saying? Is there a word that you use?
Oh, hell yeah.
As soon as I'm finishing in her mouth, it's, I have herpes. It comes straight out.
Like, nah. Look, I go, out, here it comes.
Bohica.
I go, oh my God, I'm about to bust.
See, I mean, yeah, mine is similar to that. It's just, yeah.
I don't have a word. I'm like, oh, that's it.
I do it all.
Mine's oh, like, yeah, you like mine's that? Like those Men's Warehouse commercials. You're gonna like the way you look.
I guarantee
it. Yep. Oh, man, this has been fun. Hey, listen, Dennis, thanks for stopping in. We really appreciate you.
Yeah, sorry.
Jason, if you're listening, man, it was great talking with you. And I'm looking forward to when the first episode drops. Magnus, we're going to be here again next week.
I think so, yeah.
Rick, we're going to be here again next week.
Hey, I can walk now. I'm here, bro.
You can walk. You took a dildo in the ass?
No, I never did that. No, then I wouldn't be able to walk.
Realigned his hip after surgery.
After you guys have talked about it, I'm open to it a little bit.
All right. Well, hey, I'm Stitch Mainville.
Hey, Rick Garrett.
And Magnus Heber. And sitting next to me is Dennis, the dildo-taking man.
Yes, sir. And we are out.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. The Gentleman's Nightery is an MTC original production, which can be found on all your favorite podcasting platforms. Please be sure to subscribe, share, and like our podcast on whichever platform you listen to us. And please, be sure to leave us a comment on Apple Podcasts, as it really helps our standing with all the other podcasts. If you would like to be part of the show, you can now call us direct. For more information on our call-in line, just visit thegentlemansnightery.com. If you have a show idea or a cocktail you'd like to recommend, shoot an email to mailbag@thegentlemansnightery.com. Thanks for listening.